Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on the Catch Up podcast for Adelaide Tools. Adelaide Tools massive 5-store sale this weekend. All the big brands on sale. AdelaideTools.com.au. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, Friday morning, Roo. How are you this morning?
Very good, Dits.
Gee, it was fresh getting up today.
Hasn't been a cloud in the sky in the mornings.
It was freezing in the hills.
I bet there was a few frosts around the countryside.
Yeah.
Hopefully haven't done any damage to the primary producers out there.
Meant to be a nice day, though. 16 and pretty sunny all day, so it should be a nice winter's day, I reckon.
Good night for footy.
Yeah, heading into Friday night footy, Port Melbourne.
Big game as well tonight.
Gee, a ton of sport overnight. I didn't know what to watch in the end. Gee, the first quarter by Essendon was unbelievable.
Yep.
And then I switched over to watch the Socceroos, and they played really well.
Yeah. So there's still a chance.
Still a chance. We'll cross to Russia in just a moment, actually.
Yeah.
But Lawrence Mooney's going to join us later on this morning. Roo, rock throwing. We have to do something now.
Well,
I know sometimes things take a little while, but this is a bit urgent. And I'd love to get the government minister on this morning. Corey Wingard's the Minister for Police. We'll try and chase him.
Yep.
Things have to happen like today.
Yeah.
You know, you can't say, oh, hopefully in 6 months' time we'll put in fences or whatever. Actually needs to start working.
I don't understand if you can do something quickly or not, or whether you can, if you cover up areas, whether you can just throw them from other areas.
Yeah,
or like even whether there's kilometres of areas.
The local council down there, the council as of today, should start putting up barriers or doing something. Someone has to make a decision here. This is out of control.
Yeah, it is. Be good if we caught one or two of them too.
Yeah.
The people who are throwing them. But we'll find out more about that a little bit later on. Got my boyfriend coming on a little bit later too. The
Simon
Melbourne
Goodwin.
Coach.
Yes.
Find out what is happening with these demons.
Yep.
And the week that was happens every Friday. We
also
love that part.
Yeah, just quickly, Roo, what about the tax cuts? So this got through overnight.
Mm.
Biggest tax reform probably in our history, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, about balancing the books, I mean, you're very, very good at this sort of thing. Tell me, aren't we, as a nation, in serious debt? How can we afford to say to people, going to lower your taxes? Is that a fair question to ask?
Oh, of course it is. We'll ask Ross Greenwood about it. I know we're getting closer back towards balancing the budget, but we are a long way in debt and we should be paying some of that back. So that's a question we can ask Ross and see what he thinks. Is it too early to be giving money back to the punters, or should we be paying off debt?
Yeah. All right. Lots of questions to ask this morning. In a moment, we will head to Russia and in the aftermath of Australia's, good performance against Denmark. It's Ruined It's here. Just a reminder, the Adelaide Tool sale starts today, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at their 5 locations. Ruined It's on Triple M.
Ruined It's for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Drew, 1-1 with Denmark last night, the Socceroos. And look, I watched a fair bit of it and I'm not an expert, but I thought our boys played really well. I mean, Denmark are ranked 12th in the world.
And what are we ranked? A lot lower than
in
that.
The 30s, I think, yeah. And we have been, you know, a lot lower than that for a long, long time.
Not a bad result.
We've played one of the real good teams in the world and I thought took it up to them. But Channel 7's Hugh Whitfield was there. He was in the stands. Hugh, good morning.
Good morning, boys.
Now, is this work? Is this what you call work, or were you there for pleasure?
definitely work. It was a fantastic game. It was great to be in there. Pretty much packed out stadium. I reckon there was maybe just 1,500 seats scattered around that were empty. Huge amount of Russian fans in there.
Wow.
And then, of course, the big banks of Aussie fans travelling in the Green and Gold Army and the Fanatics. And then there was a big corner of the Danish fans as well. But, wow, there was a massive amount of Russians. In fact, the Russians are playing here in a couple of days. And I reckon the locals who've missed out on the tickets for that match decided to go to the Australia-Denmark match. And as you say, I reckon the Aussies, the Socceroos, played really well as well. They managed to neutralise much of the Danish attack for the most part. They had more of the possession. They had more shots on goal. When Daniel Arzani came on midway through the second half, he lit up the Australian attack. A couple of fantastic runs down the left-hand side on the wing there. So he did a fantastic job, the young 19-year-old. And look, the Australians across the park were particularly good. And we got a good little win out of that VAR that we all spoke about after the loss to France. It played against us when we played Le Bleu, but picked up a goal out of it thanks to Milo Jednak when he managed to slam home a penalty. It was a handball in the box from Denmark.
What are all the punters over there, the Aussie punters, feeling like after the result? Obviously, they got something to look forward to now. They would have loved to win, but are they all pretty optimistic about Tuesday, a big game for Australia against Peru?
Yeah, look, I think they know that Australia's great home. A draw is enough to stay alive in the tournament. The problem now is that Australia, the Socceroos don't have the destiny in their own destiny in their own hands. They've got to rely on other events now. Particularly, they need France to pretty much smash Denmark by a couple of goals in order to get the differential up, in order to get into that second spot on Group C. And they need to beat Peru. So there are a whole heap of things that need to happen in order for Australia to go to the Group of 16. It's tough. It's not easy. Is it possible? Absolutely. But it's going to be hard.
Hugh, I don't know if you had the chance to talk to a lot of fans as you were walking out or if you got the sort of the sentiment or the feeling, but a couple of reports that I've read this morning, people angry that Tim Cahill didn't come on, but the facts are he's barely played in 9 months. He has been a controversial selection from day one as well. I mean, he couldn't even make his team here in the A-League, yet and so he had to go overseas to get some game time. He then finds himself in the Socceroos squad. Have you been able to pick up the feeling from the fans about whether Bert van Marwijk should have brought him on late in the game to try and sneak a goal or not?
Well, look, I think sentimentally, yes. And the fans that I spoke to, pretty much all of them mentioned Tim's name, saying that he should have been brought on. And they believe that, you know, he can be the sort of impact, passionate player that can make a difference in a situation like that where you need a goal to get over the line late in a match, because we know he can do it. We've seen him do it at three other World Cups. The fact is, though, guys, that he's 38 years old. Bert van Marwijk's got a player like Daniel Arzani now, the 19-year-old, who is absolutely incredible. He's one of the great finds from any team in this World Cup. And as you say, Tim Cahill has not had a lot of match time in the last 6 months. He had that trumpeted return to Millwall. He barely had any match time at Millwall, let alone in the A-League before that. And he hasn't played very much at all for the Socceroos in the last couple of weeks in their friendly. So he hasn't played a single minute of this World Cup. Look, I don't think that the Socceroos would be necessarily happy that they're in the position where the Peru match is live. They do need to win it, but they want to give Tim, you know, whether it's 2, 3, 10 minutes, I don't know. Aussie fans want to see more of him, but they want to see more of players like Daniel Arzani as well, who performed particularly well today.
Yep, I think you've summed it up beautifully. Hugh Whitfield, well done. We're all envious. What a job he's got there, Roo, over there in Russia to go and see the Socceroos play. Hugh Whitfield from Channel 7. In a moment, Roo, coming up, we'll have a laugh.
Yeah, Lawrence Mooney will join us.
Here on Triple M.
On Triple M's Ruined Hits for Breakfast, it's comedian and five-star jerk, Lawrence the Moon Man Mooney.
Move on, mate, and just do your Malcolm Turnbull impersonation.
It's Lawrence Mooney!
The Moon Man. Now, I remember this time last week, Roo, he had big, big problems with his dog, Rupert. I want to find out how he's going. Lawrence, good morning. How is little Rupert going?
Good morning, Dits. Morning, Roo. Well, Rupert had his spleen out last week and they found a tumour on it, so that went away for a biopsy. And there were three options. There was benign tumour, malignant, or very serious, and he's come back with the serious cancer.
Shit.
The hemangiosarcoma.
That means serious vet bill too.
Well, they've given him, you know, a few months to live, but he doesn't know that. He hasn't got language skills. So, you know, he wakes up in the morning.
I think you probably could tell by your facial expression.
Well, yeah, we were a little bit sad, but then he's just picked up. You know, he's a dog wagging his tail, and the possibility of these, you know, tumours coming back is high. So what happens next? And we were talking about the vet bill last week. Off to a canine oncologist this week.
Oh,
that's right.
No.
Yes, they're starting him on chemo. My wife has made the decision. And so he goes under the care of a French veterinary surgeon called Anne-Marie Claire. So, cha-ching! Cha-ching in euros this time. And so he's going on chemo. And he's on a high turmeric diet now that will help stop the tumours. And I've got to say, the other thing is, you know, you think about people with dogs with terminal illnesses. Is there a canine Make-A-Wish Foundation, you know, because basically Rupert would just be like, give me 5 minutes with a cat. Just put me in a room with a cat. Yeah. That's all I want. Yeah. Just make it a little one, so not a big tomcat.
What does chemo cost?
Look, I didn't ask that.
Did you ask?
when your wife's in tears about, you know, saving what she refers to as the little man in her life, you don't go, yeah, I know, Lulu, he'll be all right. By the way, how much is it going to cost?
You needed to do a deal with the vet before your wife got there.
Well, oh, I know. I wasn't at the oncology session, so Rupert... And I'm wondering when dogs have chemo, do their hair fall out? Does he have to wear a beanie? All these questions and more I will be answering in future weeks.
I shouldn't be laughing. It's not a laughing matter.
Well, it's kind of funny in a way because, you know, it parallels the human experience, and so you've got your anthropomorphic behaviour. But the idea of a dog on chemo just is a funny idea. Anyway, we wish him all the best.
It's 2018, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very 2018. And I think that vets do have an idea that, you know, they've got an emotional pathway into somebody's life. So they just go, well, what you could do is try this. You go, yeah, you're not going to not. But I'm sure, you know, country people or people who are raised in the country will be listening to this and going, are you serious?
Yes.
Like, time for the 22 maybe, but you can't discharge a firearm in the leafy suburbs of Melbourne.
No, well, not legally anyway. Hey, no,
you can go for a drive.
You're shifting next week.
We are shifting. Oh, my God.
The dog might think it's something's happening sooner rather than later.
Yeah, Rupert got lost in the shift. Sorry. Rupert's gone to live on a farm somewhere. It's just a nightmare shifting. They say that the stress level of shifting is up there with the death of a spouse. Mm. Well, this week I would rather experience that than having to shift because it is a nightmare. Yeah. We have got so much shit. Mm. When you start emptying the cupboards, like stuff that's been in there and you haven't used for years.
Yep.
Like chipped crockery. What? Let's just throw it away, shall we?
It ruins 6 months of your life.
It ruins six months of your life.
That's something to look forward to.
I just did it last year, and it was shocking. It's a pain.
It was a pain for a day. Oh, you've got all the kids.
Yeah, but you've got 17 children, haven't you? Well, I mean, we've got one child and a dog, but still, absolute nightmare. We have got the white glove movers coming in, though. It's the women that come in and pack for you, and it's expensive, but I am happy to have them come and do it.
Yeah, it's
so
worth
they
it.
Pack and unpack you.
To get the white glove treatment?
Oh, a couple of K more than the normal treatment. You know, two men in a van, a bit more than that.
Right.
Well, actually, white glove, the difference is they don't have your furniture airborne. They don't stand at the top of the stairs and just go, push.
With the grand piano.
That's right. So, yeah, wish me the best of luck, guys. Where is Rupert, by the way? I thought you were meant to bring him over here.
The white glove people will look right after him, by the sounds of it.
When they put the gloves on, he might go, anyway, hang on, I'll get another internal.
My weekend is sweet already, guys, because the Bombers had a great win last night. Oh, outscored by, or outshot by the Eagles in the end. As my daughter Maggie calls them, the Westgate Eagles.
As soon as you got rid of Mark Neild, you've been fine.
We've been okay, haven't we? Three out of the last four. Of course, can't beat Richmond because no one can. They'll win the premiership. Yeah. I know you people in Adelaide don't want to hear
wife,
that.
Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah. Happy wife, happy life. I'll have my number four jersey on and little tats drawn on my neck. I'm going to have a great weekend.
Good on you, mate. Enjoy the weekend.
All right.
There it is.
There's only one Lawrence Mooney.
Ruin Tits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
That's definitely top five.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week.
Number five, the World Cup is on and we learnt some of the commentators are outrageous.
Tell you what, Roo, you reckon I'm biased with my commentary. This is Cristiano Ronaldo scoring for Portugal.
Cristiano, he'll vai!
And, you know, that was when he won the coin toss at the start of the game.
Special comments.
From Portugal to Mexico.
This is when Mexico scored their goal against Germany.
Goal!
We've only got 5 minutes for this segment. We might have to keep moving and check in later with him. Number four, we learnt Ruan Ditts don't see eye to eye on rule changes in the AFL.
There are 30 recommendations on the table at the moment. Now, yep. If that's not crazy and ridiculous, I don't know what is.
They're looking at different options, Ditts. I've said this before. They are very, very concerned about the congestion.
But they're the very people that created it, though.
We'll just continue to argue about this.
2 minutes later.
If we hadn't have brought in all of these rotations, that is a change in the game.
That's the...
That never used to be there.
Yeah, 4 minutes later.
Once upon a time, there was a 19th and 20th man.
Oh, yeah,
then we introduced into...
Hang on. Can someone cancel my 1 o'clock?
Were you whinging when there was 20 rotations?
I'm just saying the players stood in their positions, which is what the AFL's asking for now, Ruth.
All right, this is going on too long. Let's check in later with that argument and keep moving. Number three, we learnt about an embarrassing world record in the cricket.
England have made 481 against us. Can you believe
that? Against the Aussies?
Against us. It's a world record. Our bowling figures, Andrew Tye, none for 100 off 9 overs.
I nearly had a car crash driving here this
Marcus
morning.
Marcus Stoinis, none for 85 off. He's gone at 10.6 and over. Ty went at 11 and over. This is just horrendous.
Boy, bowling with a tennis ball.
The crowd had to put on crash helmets.
We need to get the sandpaper back.
Bring back the sandpaper. Andrew Jarman agrees.
If you like sandpaper, clap your hands.
Let's check back in with the Mexican commentator. Let's check back in with the Ruan Ditts argument.
The change is to try and get it back to what it was, like what you liked.
Which is what I'm arguing.
Moving on to number two. We learned that discovering footy talent was a little bit different back in the 90s.
I just turned 16 and my best mate ran in there and said, oh, Neil Curley's here to watch it. Curl's pulled up, he gets out, he's got an esky full of beer. So the recruiters that I saw on the weekend had their iPads and all their information, and Curls rocks up with an esky full of beer, sits up there with Dad, he says, where's the lad playing today? And Dad said, oh, he's playing in the fourth pocket. Oh, I didn't come up here all the way to watch a lad play in the fourth pocket. Put him in the middle. Anyway, I played in the fourth pocket. They got stuck into the beers. When I kicked my tenth, Curl said, bring him down to Adelaide next year. I think he'll be all right. So Dad and him got half cut on the boundary line. And that was the recruiting for the Adelaide Crows and West Adelaide.
And then on Monday, Kells went, which one was he again?
Let's check back in with that Mexican commentator. Finally, he's... Surely Ruan Ditts' argument's over, though.
Once upon a time, we didn't have interchange.
Yeah, I understand that. Right. So you want to bring in a new rule?
No, I keep arguing.
Still going. We've got to keep moving. Number one, Crows had a bad game against Hawthorn.
Hawthorn have notched up a comprehensive win.
We're not playing with any confidence, so it's very disappointing.
And since then, everyone seems to want to sink the boots in.
They're not going to make the finals this year.
Jonathan Brown.
That third quarter was soft.
Chris McDermott.
Total review of every position from president to CEO.
The guy from Happy Gilmore. So, finally, when Taylor Walker came on the show on Tuesday to face the music, the boys did not hold back.
He's in witness protection this morning. He's somewhere in Broken Hill.
I don't think poor Tex was ready for it.
G'day, boys. You're certainly right. I am Broken Hill.
They really gave it to him with both barrels. Kick it off, Dittmar.
What's that milkshake joint in South Broken Hill? You're going to head there while you're home?
Bells,
that's it.
Okay, yep, start him off easy, then hit him with the big questions.
All right, what's on the agenda today in Broken Hill? What are you up to?
I'm about to drop mum to work.
Dropping mum to work, a likely story. She's probably behind the form slump.
Okay. What does mum do?
Mum's a hairdresser.
I thought you would have had better hair then than you got.
We'll have to book you in for a colour dip.
Broken Hill red.
So what did Jonathan Brown think of those questions?
But I'll tell you, that was soft.
The top five things we've learned on Ruan Ditts this week.
Hang on, it takes two to argue. It wasn't just my fault.
Nah, you were soft, dude. You were soft. Nah, good stuff.
Well done, Sammy.
Brilliant. Produces a great segment. Hey, we've got a big 10 minutes coming up. We've got Ross Greenwood, who's going to tell us all about tax cuts. Most people have made $500 in a day. And if you're a married couple, you've made $1,000 or a de facto relationship, you've made $1,000 at least. Plus, we've got the press test where you win $1,000 as well.
In a 3-hour program, I'm glad we've got a big 10 minutes coming up. That's good.
Oh, that's just don't go anywhere.
Oh, right.
For the next 10 minutes. And then I'll say the next 10 minutes is going to be even better.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because then we're talking about Port.
We'll do it 10 minutes at a time, shall we?
I just didn't want to tell Crow supporters we're going to talk about Port.
Fair enough.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
I like Living End. Really used to rock out in the 90s. Absolutely, yeah. Dits.
Right. Now, for my mind.
Rock out in the 90s. That's a bit of a bad term, me, because we're talking about rock throwing Dits. This is going from bad to worse.
Yep.
This is ridiculous.
And it seems as though, to me, sitting here in the cheap seats, that nothing's being done.
Yeah, I don't know what is being done. I know there's been a lot of talk about putting cages around there and trying to concrete over the rocks and all this sort of stuff, but it seems like nothing's getting done. We don't know. We've tried to get hold of Corey Wingard this morning and Stephen Marshall's interstate, but to find out what the Liberals are doing about it, because we're up to 35 incidents now. It was only yesterday we spoke, I think, about the 32nd.
And there were two more bad incidents yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday.
Real bad.
Hitting windscreens, hitting cars. Last night I heard a stat, Dits, of all the people that go on that Southern Expressway, 12% of the traffic is now diverted off using that road. 12% of the traffic. That is an enormous amount of traffic. We're not talking about 10 or 20 or 100 cars here. That's thousands of cars. Mm. The people are just not willing to take the risk of getting hit by a rock on the Southern Expressway. 12% of users have changed their driving habits, their inconvenience, their time it takes to get to work or get to A to B, whether it's work or play or their life, it's taking longer to drive around, and that's what they're prepared to do to have a safer route to work or play. This is disgraceful, and I don't know if we're doing enough about it, because I don't know enough about it, but the people that are doing it obviously aren't getting the message or don't care.
Well, they don't care. But, Roo, the players in this are the Ongerpringa Council, I would have thought. You've got SAPOL.
Yeah.
You've got our government.
Yep.
And I don't know who else, but what are they? Have they met? What are they doing? Mm. I don't think we've seen enough yet. I mean, this requires instant action. I want to see trucks and things down there today working on these bridges, putting up fences or barriers or doing whatever you have to do to stop this now.
Yeah.
Oh, this is an urgent problem. It's not, let's bring it up at our next council meeting or let's bring it up. No, no, no. Do something now.
People that know the answers to this or have got opinions on us, give us a call right now. 1-333-53. I mean, is it as simple as putting cages around the overpasses, or can people throw rocks along the sides of the freeway? I mean, can you hurl one from 30 or 40 metres away just anywhere along the Southern Expressway?
Yeah.
I mean, is it as simple as just doing the overpasses? Mm. I know people can bring their own rocks or bring their own bottles or bring their own things they want to throw from, but how many places are there that they can throw these things from? Is it 10 kilometres, 5 kilometres? Is it just the bridges? What should we do, Dits, to the people that actually get caught? Because I haven't seen anyone get, I haven't heard of anyone get caught.
No.
So do we need to, like you said, put security at all these bridges, like actual security guards at $50 to $60 an hour, 24 hours a day? So every bridge is going to cost us, $1,000 to $2,000 a day.
Do we need to do that?
Are security cameras going to catch them if they've got hoodies and balaclavas or whatever they want to use to try and get away with it?
But this is the
How
sort
much
of
is
thing
that going to cost?
I associate with gangs in the Bronx of New York or something, like real down and out society, not suburbs of Adelaide.
No, I can't believe they're still doing it. But like I said the other day, I don't think the people that are doing it even know that it's probably such a big issue.
Yeah, because
they don't watch TV, they don't read the paper, their parents probably aren't even talking to them about it.
One of the photos in the paper today of a smashed windscreen, just imagine, so the worst is you're a lady driving along and your windscreen smashes, you absolutely panic, you swerve, and it's peak hour, so then you hit the car in the next lane, then swerves, they hit
someone. You could roll over.
So someone dies or five cars are smashed and written off. So then what would you do, and it's a 12-year-old kid, how do we prosecute that kid if someone dies in a car accident?
Well, I'll have a bet that he won't even get in trouble.
Yeah.
He'll get a first offence.
And this is my frustration.
It'll be a first offence, and he'll get a slap on the wrist.
Because something bad is going to happen.
Yep.
I hate to say it, but it is.
It's bad enough as it is. But,
right, the phones have lit up. We better take some calls on this. The phones have gone absolutely crazy. We'll get to that in just a moment. Ruined, it's on Triple M.
Triple M.
Three, we're talking about this rock throwing on the Southern Expressway. Now, last night on 10 News, a gentleman came up with a theory, or not a theory, he was saying it as fact, that there's a competition amongst year eight kids in the southern suburbs. Who can do the most damage? Who can throw the best rock?
Well, I did just hear that, Ditz, and I already had a thought. Why don't we do this with dobbing a drug dealer or different things. Why wouldn't we dob in the rock throwers?
Mm.
Seriously, I know it sounds a bit childish, but this is serious, and at the moment we're not catching him. Dob in the rock thrower. If he knows there's a competition going on, let's dob in the people that are doing it.
Yep, I like it. Let's go to Colin of O'Halloran Hill. Good morning, Colin.
Wow, I can't believe what you just said, a competition. That's ridiculous. I'm a truck driver, guys, that supplies the Darlington project out of the McCarran Vale Quarry.
Yep.
I'm probably about 90 seconds from entering the southern end of the Southern Expressway. I go along both ways probably four or five times a day. And, my boss approves it. I wouldn't want to go. I don't want to go along there myself, but I have to. It's my job. And I did actually witness on Wednesday, on the back of what you were saying, Dix, they are doing heavy police patrols along there. I don't know about the night, of course, but during the day when I travelled along there on Wednesday in particular, I did see police driving along the actual bike path on the southern half of the expressway.
Right.
And I actually seen police on horseback walking along the bike path there too.
Good.
I reckon the only way they can stop it would be to put a fence all the way along it, 20 foot high with barbed wire on both sides and cover all of the cross paths.
Mm.
Because, guys, there's probably 2 or 3 kilometres of trees that come right up to the side of the expressway there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how you cover the cross paths, they can just walk up and hop over a 2 foot fence. And get amongst all the trees that run along the side of the expressway there.
Good on you, Colin. Thank you. Colin from O'Halloran
Hill. That's my point from before. It's just about impossible, Ditz.
Now, Roo, I don't want to sound like I can never be pleased in this situation, but the fact that police are there, well, kids aren't going to come along and throw rocks, are they? It almost needs to be anonymous or just people patrolling without being... Because you know what I'm saying? If police are standing there on horseback, well... Kids aren't going to throw rocks.
Well,
we need to catch these kids.
Such a long place, though. You can't have police along, 10, 20 kilometres of... I don't even know how far it goes.
Well, someone can help us out with this. If someone has more information, I want to know, is it the same bridge every time? Or is it up
and down?
That's
all different areas.
It is all different, is it?
Pretty certain, okay. Absolutely. Let's go to an anonymous caller. Good morning.
Yeah, morning, Ruin. It's how are you?
Good.
Look, I was involved as a senior member on that design, that construction. Now, what everyone's got to understand is it was a Dipti design to have all of those loose rocks placed underneath those bridges.
Right.
Yep. You go over east anywhere, they're all got concrete blown over the top of them.
Yep.
They're all locked in with concrete. You've got tens of tons, hundreds of tons of rock sitting under there waiting for the kids to pick up and destroy.
Yep.
Now, the only way that is going to be stopped, and it's an easy fix, get some concrete trucks down there, get some shotcreters down there, blow some concrete over the rock. There you go.
Aren't they already throwing bottles as well, Anonymous? I know we've had a caller say that before to us, but won't they just bring their own stuff?
Look, possibly. We're probably going to have a hard time stopping that, but let's at least stop the access to this free ammunition.
The impulse throwing. Mm. Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. No, great suggestion. Thanks for that. And these are the things I'm saying, Rick. Trucks should be there today doing this. Because this has already been mentioned a couple of times. I've heard that suggestion before.
Yep.
Who's doing something about it?
Let's go to Salisbury Heights. G'day, Mark.
How you going, boys? We'll cut to the chase. Got one possible solution for you. 12 months mandatory jail for anyone caught. No ifs, ands, or buts. Straight to jail.
Yep. I don't mind that.
Because
this is a serious thing. We've already said, Roo, there could be deaths on the road. There will be major damage to cars, all sorts of carnage. This is a serious crime.
Yep. Don't know if you can bring that in so quickly. I don't know how the law works, but certainly not too many would disagree with it. Let's go to Norlunga. G'day, Paul.
How you going, fellas?
What do you got for us?
Just a bit of information. 15 bridges along the Southern Expressway. You've got that bike way, the other fella mentioned.
So the bike lane goes along the side of the whole way?
Not the whole way, but there's probably 4 or 5 points where it's right on the side of the expressway. And it's only about a 3 or 4 foot high fence.
Hmm.
So you can stand there and watch the traffic go past. And what the first caller said, like the police presence at the moment is phenomenal, horseback, motorbikes, and all the rest of it. And honestly, we all believe that all this money that we're going to waste on concrete and everything else, it isn't going to stop them, because there's so many points along the expressway where they've got access to rocks and stuff like. I think we're just going to waste our money on concrete over that stuff.
Yeah, I'm a bit cautious of how much money you tip into it as well, because it sounds like it's a game. Like, if you've got cops everywhere, this is out everywhere, they're bringing their own bottles and all the, or whatever they're doing, it sounds like it's a game for these kids at the moment. We need to get to the schools as well, Dits. Tim the button pusher here had a great idea. Get to the schools, have assemblies, bring all the kids, let them know if you're going to change the rules and make it stricter and have jail or you have whatever you want to do, let all the kids know that they're there. If they're not there at school that day, make sure they're in a classroom the next day and tell them, send emails and messages to all the parents, all the kids in that area, because they are school-age kids that are doing it, we're led to believe. Yep. So get to them as well. Let's go to our last caller. G'day, Michael from Ranella.
How are you guys?
Good, Michael.
I am one of the 35.
What do you mean? You got hit, did you?
Yep, hit my windscreen right in front of me.
Now, when did this happen?
About 2 weeks ago.
What did it feel like? How fast were you going?
So I was doing 100 kilometres, which is what the speed limit is. The biggest problem is, like, yes, it scared me. This happened 2 years ago and a guy ended up in a coma. So why is it taking now for changes to happen?
Yes.
And B, there is that pathway that runs along. I was hit near a bridge. It wasn't dropped from a bridge. There's bushes that these guys can just peg them from anywhere along that expressway, and no one can see them and no one can do anything
about
it.
So you think yours came from the side, did it?
Oh, it definitely came from the side, yes.
All right. Now, did you, at the time, I would have thought, you know, that comes out of the blue. There would have been a bit of panic at the time, or what? Did you hit the brakes and stop, or what was your reaction?
The initial reaction was, what was that? Because fortunately, it wasn't a big rock.
Yeah.
It was only small, so...
You say rock or small, you're saying what, golf ball?
Yeah, probably, maybe about... There was a mark on my windscreen about the size of a 10-cent piece.
Okay.
So...
That is small.
It is, you know...
Oh, it's still bad.
Did you stop or did you keep driving?
I kept driving. I looked in my mirror. I wasn't sure if it came from a truck or whatnot.
Yeah.
Got home, which I live at Ranella, so it was only a little bit later. Rang the police straight away. Police said they checked cameras. They saw some movement around that area, but there's nothing they can do. They send patrols, but there's 15 different exits they can get to from
that area. How far is the Southern Expressway, Michael? How many kilometres is it, do you know?
Is it 14?
Right. Yeah, might be.
Is
might
it that
be.
Long?
Feels like it might even be longer.
Yeah, so I was hit right at the bottom of the hill near the Seacombe Road Bridge. So, like I said, there's Seacombe Road, there's South Road, there's all these different areas they can just get away from. But, I mean, if you change the laws to have them charged for attempted murder, you know, what does that do to it?
Well, good luck convicting him of that.
I know. Good luck convicting, but...
No, but when something happens, though, one day, Michael, what will the charge be? Will it be manslaughter? Will it be...
Well, something has happened, but they never caught the people who put a guy in a coma. That went straight through his windscreen and hit him.
Bloody hell.
That's disgusting.
Michael, thanks so much for calling in.
They said it's just come through. It's 21 kilometres long. Yeah. So good luck stopping all those spots of that.
I can't believe this. In Adelaide. I love this joint, and I can't believe we've got people in our midst that are doing this.
Yep. It's a disgrace. Whoever's doing it, and they need...
God, it makes you angry, doesn't it?
Need a few rocks thrown at them.
All right. Ruined Dits here on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. On 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, he's been beside himself all morning, Roo. He's had a sparkle in his eyes. Skipping around the place. His boyfriend's in town.
He's not my boyfriend.
Back.
We broke up.
What do you mean you broke up?
We broke up when he stole Jake Lever from the Crows. I said, we're off.
Oh, right.
It's all over.
Is that the end?
No, we've split.
Oh, jeez.
No, she's all off.
Bit of tension in the air there. Righto, let's get him on. Simon Goodwin, good morning.
Morning, boys. Morning, boys. Good to speak to you finally, Roo. It's been a while.
Yeah, lovers, hey, you had a lover's tiff.
You did the dirty on me, it's like the old days, and I just thought, nah, that's it. We're all over.
That's it.
Game's
off. You don't know what a grad for it.
No, I don't.
Now, listen, Goody, you're obviously taking this game lightly. It must be an easy game for you. See, Bernie Vince has been here playing golf all week.
Yeah, Ben came over a day earlier, so
Now, look, it's going to be a fantastic game. Your boys, the Power, are playing some really terrific footy and a really contested brand. So, now we know what we're in for this week. It's a really important game for both clubs.
Hey, goody. Ditch was going to burn Port Adelaide down about a month ago when they got beaten by Hawthorne. He's going to sack Hankley, get rid of Koshy. Today, he's rolled into work this morning with a Port Adelaide hat on that looks absolutely brand spanking new. He is on the bandwagon, and fair enough. They've played some pretty decent footy the last few weeks.
Yeah, they have. It doesn't surprise me with Ditch, though. He's a bit of a turncoat like that. He should be very happy. As I said, they're playing a really exciting brand. You know, they're good players. They're playing well. They're really strong to the midfield. So, I think it's going to be a really important game tonight.
Is it going to be a... you can't predict this, and you might not want to give too much away, but what I'm about to say, you kick high scores. You've won by 91 points and over 100 points, and I think Port Adelaide the last couple of weeks have played some very attacking-style football as well. It could be a big high-scoring shootout tonight.
Yeah, I'm not too sure, Dits. I think it's going to be a pretty high stoppage and clearance-based game. It's sort of certainly the way the trend of Port Adelaide games go, especially the Adelaide Oval, is certainly high in stoppages. So with that comes long periods of not scoring, so... I think it's going to be a pretty tight affair. It should be a bit dewy on the night. So it's going to be that really clearance-based, contestable game.
Goody, against Richmond, you were badly beaten in the Dreamtime at the G, and you were beaten against Collingwood on the Queen's Birthday weekend. So they're a couple of the top sides. Do you take much out of those games? Was it a bad day for you guys, or did you struggle against sort of the top sides in the competition? How did you see it?
Yeah, look, it's a really interesting one. We're sort of working through as we're growing as a footy team. We're starting to play in some bigger games as we go through, and I think they're just great learning opportunities for us, and opportunities that you want to be a part of because you want to play in those type of games. So we haven't played our best footy in those games, but you know, as we evolve as a team, as we gradually get better and playing these games more often, I think you'll see us handle those environments better and look forward to those opportunities. There's no doubt we've got a pretty young group that are building something really good together that they've got to experience these times and actually learn from them and get better at them.
Were you sad that Jack Watts wasn't playing tonight?
Oh, Watts, he was obviously a pretty big part of the Melbourne Footy Club for 9 years. And, he started a new journey at Port Adelaide. We wish Jack all the best in what he's doing. So we know what he's capable of as a forward, and I think he'll find his feet at Port Adelaide in due course.
Actually, if you go and watch the Magpies this weekend, there's Jack Watts, Jimmy Tumpus, Jack Trengove. who are we going to get next year? We
got anyone else? Other old South Australians I can get?
No, not at this stage.
The draft picks 1, 2, and 4. Yeah. We've said that before.
We've been happy with those in the Magpie side.
No, it's good depth. Hey, Goody, good luck tonight, mate. This is going to be a cracking game. The old-fashioned 8-point game for top four up for grabs, and Adelaide Oval will be on fire tonight on the national stage. Good luck against the Power.
Yeah, thanks, boys. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Good on you. And Goody, once the footy's done and dusted, make sure he shouts you a beer somewhere tomorrow, won't you?
Yeah, no, well, he's due. He hasn't fought one out for a while.
No, and I probably won't. So, good on you.
Looking forward to tonight. It'll be fantastic. Thanks, Simon Goodwin, the coach of the Demons, and Triple M will rock footy live from 6 o'clock tonight.
And if you're Port Adelaide fans or footy fans, get down to the Adelaide Oval tonight. Have a look at the conditions out there. It's going to be. There's no excuses tonight. There's no rain. This is a top game. Melbourne are a great side to watch. Footy fans, get down to Adelaide Oval and pack it out.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Now, Roo, I'm all for tax cuts. If I can get more money, if we can all get more money, surely we're for it. But I thought the country was in serious debt. I'm just wondering how and why they can do it.
It's in a lot of debt, but it's not in a lot of debt compared to a lot of other countries. But a lot of conservative people would prefer to pay off the debt instead of giving money back. Let's see what Ross Greenwood, the finance editor for Channel 9, thinks. Good morning, Ross.
Morning, Lou. Morning, Dick. Good to be with you, boys.
Can we afford to be giving tax cuts at this stage of our debt cycle?
It's a very finely balanced thing. Look, I'll give you the sort of the numbers so you've sort of got them in your head. Today in Australia, the federal government's got about $600 billion in total debt. But when you talk about debt, you've actually got to talk about netting off their assets against what they owe, a bit like your house, if you like.
Yep.
And so they've actually got net debt, they say, of $380 billion.
Yep.
Now, over the next 7 years, these tax cuts cost $144 billion. And one argument goes, well, why don't you just save the money, get yourself out of debt, and as a result of that, maybe you can hand out the tax cuts further down the track. Mm. Well, of course, they're politicians. They've got to find a reason as to why we should vote for them next time around in the May election that's going to be.
Yep.
And so as a result, they're saying, look, we think we're going to plan not only to give you these tax cuts, because we think it's your money and you should get it back, but also we think we've got a plan. Now, I spoke to the Finance Minister, Matthias Cormann, last night. He reckons over the next 10 years, they can bring that $380 billion debt as part of their plan down to about $120 or $130 billion.
Wow, in the next 10 years.
They can not only, yeah, that's right. He says we can not only, if everything goes okay,
yep,
hand out the tax cuts, but we can also bring the debt down. We can do both things.
Well,
I think that's a big call because, you know, we don't have any global financial collapse factored into that. We don't have anything. We've got actually a pretty good run for our economy factored in. So the truth is everything's got to go right for all of this to happen.
Well, even if it goes half right on those figures, I think it's a pretty good result, really, Ross. If people can get more money in their pocket, and Australians are struggling more than ever you know, to make ends meet with the utilities going through the roof, especially in some states, I actually think it's a good idea to relieve a bit of pressure as long as, you know, they're not blowing the money and, you know, going into more debt and taking more risks, I guess.
I think that's the case. Now, what you've got as a result of this is two clear and quite separate policies when it comes to the next election. So on one side, you've got the government that basically says, right, we've got a three-stage process to give you these tax cuts. So initially, people who earn up to $120,000 will get $540. Now, you might sit there and think that $10 a week isn't really the crown jewels, and it's not. But at least it's something. It's a bit of a start.
Yep.
As you go further out, there's more money that comes. The Labor Party, however, criticises the last part of it. Basically, they scrap a complete tax threshold of 37 cents in the dollar. So effectively, from the moment that you earn pretty much about $50,000 all the way through to $200,000, you pay 32 cents in the dollar on that. Now, what the opposition says, the Labor Party, is hang on, we don't think that's fair, because when you do that and scrap that tax bracket, that tax rate, what it does is gives big money to those people on big salaries. And so effectively, anybody over a salary of $200,000, and so therefore they're talking about politicians and big business leaders, they get a $7,000 tax break. But that, remember, you've got to vote for the government twice before you actually would get that tax.
That's in that 9 years, isn't it?
It's in 7 years' time.
Seven years.
A fair way out. Two elections time, and of course, lots could happen between now and two governments time.
Yep.
Now, Ross, being the amateur economist that we all are, we run our own little households. The way I think of that is, those people lucky enough to get that $7,000 tax break, what do they do with that? Well, they probably reinvest it, don't they? They spend it on things that then help the economy, and then also that money becomes taxable when you spend it, and there's GST on different things. Do you know what I mean? Isn't it always being reinvested anyway back into the economy?
It's so true, and there's a really good line, I think, that the government's putting out. It's not a bad line, to be honest, and that is they're saying, look, it's your money, it's not our money. It's not our money, the government. And so, you know, forget this idea. You're the ones who are putting in the taxes every week that you go to work. And so what we're saying is if we can balance the budget and we can make certain there's a few bob around the place, we're going to give the dough back to you. That's your money. Mm. And so I think to a certain extent that sort of rings true with people. Now, the Labor Party, of course, got a different view. What it says is we believe that we should take away a lot of the perks. We're going to change negative gearing. We're going to change the capital gains tax rules. We're not going to give these tax cuts. And as a result of doing that, we're going to have more money to give to lower and middle income earners.
Mm.
And so that's the big sharp difference between the two tax policies. But what the government says is effectively, if you don't give tax cuts to everybody, you're pretty much putting a tax on the aspirations of people to earn more and do better in their lives.
Mm. Aspirations, gee, he's used that word a few times over the last couple of days, hasn't he? The big
fella. He's almost aspirated it out, hasn't he?
<That's right. laughs> Hey, Ross, thanks so much for joining us. Good on you.
No dramas at all.
There he is from Channel 9, Ross Greenwood. And I think this is an argument against one of those that no one will ever win. The left will always argue, oh, the rich people are getting looked after, and then the right will argue, oh,
the rich people aren't getting looked after for at least 7 years.
Yeah.
At the moment, it's all for the lower and middle.
Yeah.
So it's I reckon it's a great result for Australian workers.
Yeah.
Ruined
Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Homelessness. In South Australia, over 5,000 people every night live on the streets.
It's just like being on the run, really. But you're on the run from nothing.
In the lead up to Vinny's CEO sleepout, Ruin Dits are looking to help break the cycle of homelessness and poverty.
So the CEO sleepout took place last night, Roo. Now, when I got into my car this morning to head down here, there's a big zero on the temperature gauge.
I reckon there would have been a few minuses.
Yeah, it could have been minus, yeah, because I think it only goes down to zero, but that's how fresh we're talking. And the idea is that the CEOs of Adelaide get to experience for one night what it's like to sleep rough.
Yep.
And we've got a couple of our CEOs on the line. First up, Stuart Lamon from Flinders Port. Stuart, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Now, please set the scene for us. Where did you sleep and how cold was it?
Well, it was, we slept on the western side of the ground, just down in between the seats.
Oh, this is Adelaide Oval, is it?
This is Adelaide Oval, sorry, yeah. Just down at Adelaide Oval. It was about, I think it got down to about 3.5.
Right.
I had a blowout in my sleeping bag and I had a snorer next to me, so it was a fun experience.
So you had a sleeping bag. Ditch, when he did it, reckons he only had a bit of cardboard and a couple of old crusty rugs.
Yeah, the night I did it, they handed me two rugs and a piece of cardboard. So you're allowed to bring more than that, were you?
We had pure luxury. We were allowed to bring a sleeping bag
gone soft.
And a pillow.
They've gone
a
soft.
A pillow?
And two pieces of cardboard as well, I think.
Oh, okay,
We were pretty lucky.
Stuart, is this the first time you've done it? And tell me about your experience. Now that you've got through to the morning, what do you think of it?
Look, it wasn't pleasant, but that's not the object of the exercise. It's all about trying to, as you said earlier, raise awareness for something that's a significant issue, not only in Adelaide, but all around the country. So, it's just a worthwhile cause. As I said, it's not supposed to be pleasant, but there we go.
Did you have a bit of banter with the other people? I mean, was it a fun night or was it a long night? Did you get much sleep?
No, not a lot of sleep, but I don't think anyone was expecting to get a lot of sleep. And no, there's a great camaraderie here as well, so no, it's a good night. Everyone's here for the same reason, so it's a... Yeah, no, good fun night. So I'll definitely be here next year as well.
Good on you. All right, well, Stuart, thank you. Now, Stuart's from Flinders Port. Now, I think you've got Rashid with you as well. Are you able to hand the phone over for us, please?
I have, guys. I'll just hand you over to Rashid.
All right, thank you. That's Stuart Lamon from Flinders Port. Now we've got Rashid Maliki from RM Williams. Rashid, good morning.
Morning to you.
Now, did you rug up in all of the RM Williams gear overnight?
Yeah.
You needed to keep warm somehow.
Absolutely. I can tell you, it did really help tonight.
Really?
You'll be able to stay there and watch tonight's footy game. Just lay under the chairs all day and get another nap.
No, unfortunately, I have a very busy day. We have also the Minister of the Tourism and Industry coming to visit the workshop, so I have to be in the office.
Ah, right. Yeah, you've actually, RM Williams, I see you've got the big sale on too, the 50% sale down at the showgrounds, I think.
On the Wayville, yes.
Yeah.
Started officially... yesterday.
Good stuff. Mm. Now, tell me about your experience overnight. What has this done for you? I don't know, I guess from a mental point of view, what's it made you think about sleeping out rough overnight?
To be honest, the experience started with my wife and my kids because they've done the homeless walk here in Adelaide.
Right.
And they started talking about it and just brought the whole awareness to myself. And I said, I'm part of this community living in Australia, not even being Australian, but I'm living here in Australia and I like this country. So it's my duty as well to do something to help the people that are in need in help. I grew up in an area also where we were isolated for 6 months with the snow in the mountain of the Atlas. So I know how it feels being in the cold outside.
Yeah. So what's your background, Rashid? Where are you from?
I'm from Morocco originally.
From where?
Grew up there, Morocco.
Oh, Morocco.
Yeah. Studied there, so in mountain of the Atlas, 2,600 meters high. So
wow.
I can tell you, I know what it means cold and in the snow for 6 months. So it was my duty. So actually, to be honest with you, it was just a fantastic thing. You know, we have always the tendency to go and in those small habits at home. You come in, you're pushing a small buttons, you get the heat at home.
Yeah.
You're pushing another buttons, you get the light. Where these people are here, I mean, they have to walk distance and distance to find a place, but not only a place where to sleep, but also a secure place.
Yep. Well,
and that's
Rashid,
the hard part of it.
Well done. Well done for being involved. And I take my hat off to you and all the people that did this last night. Rashid Maliki from RM Williams and also Stuart Lamon from Flinders Ports. And, Roo, that's what it's about. If you can sleep out just for one night, and as Rashid's explained, you're actually getting a feel for what these people go through on a daily basis, 24/7.
It's part of our community. It is, Dits. And that's why we've been talking about it this week. And that's why we feel for the people that are doing it, and anyone who can raise money for Vinnie's and help out these people, because there's more people out in the street than ever before. If you've missed some of our segments this week, which we have focused in on the homeless, you can go to triplem.com.au and go to the Ruined Dits homepage. There's a podcast there with all our segments. So catch up with those if you've got a bit of spare time over the weekend.
Hey, Roo, also, I want to give a big rap to the people that look after you out at Peter Kittles. Tell me what they've done overnight.
Well, they just heard us talking about the homeless segments this week and said that they're happy to service the vans for Fred's vans, I think. Mm. So, I mean, they are very generous people at Peter Kittle. They are the major sponsor also of the Royal Flying Doctor Service Dits that we gave a hand to only a month ago or so ago. So they are very, very community-minded people, and thanks to Peter and Louise Kittle. Mm.
But basically, Fred's vans can go in there and get their cars serviced and all of that. So thanks for offering that up, Peter Kittle. Magnificent stuff.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on the Catch Up podcast for Adelaide Tools. Adelaide Tools massive 5-store sale this weekend. All the big brands on sale. AdelaideTools.com.au. 104.7 Triple M.